Yishalu Yisrael. As Rashi points out, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu took them the crooked way, where it wasn't easy to get back to Mitzrayim, and still they wanted, they said, Nitna Reish and Arshuva Mitzrayim, where they still wanted to get back to Mitzrayim. So Kal V'chomer, if he would have taken them out on a straight way, they'd see hardship, they want to go back to Mitzrayim. Now the Mepharshim ask a question here, what does it mean by he b'shalach Paray Yisra'on? When Paray sent out the nation, Paray sent out the nation, they were taken out against his will. Bilam said, Kelim Yitzhiyah mi Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took them out of Mitzrayim. V'hi b'shalach Paray's mashma, that Paray sent them out, but that's not true. Paray didn't send them out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took them out against his will. So the Sefer Proshas Drachim, Rabbi Yehuda Reizana says, Amari Dikibshat. The Medrash tells us that when the Bnei Yisrael were about to come out of Mitzrayim, they were not willing to leave unless Paray gave them the okay. Moshe Rabbeinu said to Paray, we are not leaving here until you tell us b'feirush, you're in your own rishus, you are Bnei Chayim, you are free. But until Paray says the words, you are hereby free, the Bnei Yisrael were not willing to go out. Why? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu took them out forcibly, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave makis, why was it necessary for Paray to say, you are hereby in your rishus, you are hereby free? So he says a very, very beautiful teretz. We know that if a person owns an Eved Ivri, when he sends away, after 6 years, when the Eved Ivri goes out free, there's a mitzvah of Hanukkah, Hanek Tanik, like. There's a mitzvah of Hanukkah, there's a mitzvah to give him presents. You have to set him up in life once again. You have to give him presents. So the emphasis is that the va'achri chen yetsu v'rechush gadol. The fact that the Yidden went out of Mitzrayim with the rechush gadol, this was the hanukkah of the Bnei Yisrael. As they were avodim in Mitzrayim, they came out with the rechush gadol. These were the presents that are given to the Eved Ivri after he's an avdus. Actually, it's a beferish sefri. The Sefri says, "Kishem shani hanakti l'cho b'Mitzrayim." The same way I gave you ha'anokeh, I gave you presents in Mitzrayim, as it says by Yinatzlus Mitzrayim. You emptied out Mitzrayim. They emptied out Mitzrayim. You have a mitzvah that when you have an Eved Ivri, and the Eved Ivri leaves your rishus, you have a mitzvah of hanek tanikli. We see from over here that the roots of the mitzvah of Hanukkah were when the Yidden were in Mitzrayim, and after they finished their avodah, the Achrei Chen Yetsu B'Rechush Gadol was the Hanukkah of Eved Ivri. So lefi this, it comes out very good why they had to first get the official okay from Paray. You're hereby in your rishus, you're hereby free. Because the din is by an Eved Ivri, that if an Eved Ivri goes away without the rutzin of his master, if he goes out against the will of his master, there is no mitzvah of Hanukkah. And since this was a mitzvah hanukkah, it only could be with the will of the master. So by hibashalach Paray, they waited until Paray said, you are hereby free. They finally had the rotzen of Paray, and then they were zeichet to the mitzvah of hanukkah. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to get the v'achrechein yeshu b'rechush galit. Especially since we know that an Eved that runs away before his time doesn't get Hanukkah. Here the Yidden really went out before this matter 400 years. So they v'dafke needed the haskam of Paray. You're hereby in your rishus, you're hereby Bnei Chayrin, and only then would they be zeiche to the mitzvah of Hanukkah. V'chamushim olu Bnei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. The Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim, chamushim, they had weaponry with them. Ein chamushim elu mizuyanim, Rashi says. Chamushim means they had weapons. So the first man is Kakashi, they had weapons, so why later on when the Mitzrayim came running after them were the Bnei Yisrael so afraid? And why didn't Hashem tell them to fight back? And if Hashem did not tell them to fight back, so what was the purpose of having the weapons l'chadkila? Maman Hashem, if you have weapons, use them. And if for some reason Hashem did not want them to use the weapons, so why did they bring them with them to begin with? So there's a Mary the Kichsam Sefer over here. Sam Sefer says that Zikr had weapons. And Zikr they could have used them to fight back. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'davki did not want them to use those weapons against the Mitzrayim. Why? Pelet the Keteretz. To show HaKadosh HaTayb to the Mitzrayim. As bad as the Mitzrayim were, as oppressive as they were, as much as they demoralized you, over Lamaisa, you were guests in Mitzrayim for 210 years. And that gave you the capability of going to Matan Torah, so you owe them a certain amount of gratitude. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'll take care of the fighting back. You don't fight back, you go on your way, and I will take care of it with Kriyas Yamsa. I said, why did they bring the weapons to begin with? That's to show us a lesson. If they wouldn't take the weapons to begin with, we wouldn't learn that lesson. HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'davka wanted them to take out the weapons to show they could afford back. The Afal Pi Kein Hashem says, I don't want you to fight back because I want you to show a level of Hakaras HaTorah. And the truth is, there's an issue in the Torah like Sisayiv Mitzri. You're not supposed to discard the Mitzri if the three generations of Mitzri is allowed to intermarry into Klal Yisrael for that very same reason. As bare as it was in Mitzrayim, Lamaisa, we owe them a certain amount of Hakaras HaTorah, and therefore we have to acknowledge that by allowing them to intermarry in Klal Yisrael. And this was the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want them to fight back, which is a peledik and peledik lesson in Hakaras HaTorah. As bad as it was, and there was a little good there, you have to be able to acknowledge the good and not just let it go to waste and not just cast to the side. Moshe Rabbeinu took the bones of Yosef with him. Yosef had made the Shvatim swear, you should take out my bones with you. So now Moshe Rabbeinu was Isaac with the Atzmos Yosef. The Medrash says about this, Chacham leiv yikach mitzvahs. The wise man takes mitzvahs. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu considered a wise man over here? While everybody else was Isaac with the visa, with the Klei Chesed, Klei Zov, they were borrowing from their neighbors, the Mitzrayim, different riches, Moshe Rabbeinu was Isaac in the mitzvah of the Atzmos Yosef. So about that, the Medrash says, Chacham leiv yikach mitzvahs, the wise man takes mitzvahs for himself. The Mepharshim asked the Kashya, I mean, what the Bnei Yisrael did was also a mitzvah. Because Baruch Hu said, Daber no bozmeyam, please, I beg of you, speak to the nation, and they should borrow Klei Chesed and Klei Zov, each man from his friend. Daber no, please, I beg of you, so that Avraham Avinu shouldn't have a taina against me that they were tortured in the tribe, and I wasn't the kind of operating Yetzu Bruchas Gadol. So they also need Makai in a mitzvah. So why is Moshe Rabbeinu over here lauded for doing a mitzvah when the Bnei Yisrael were also Isaac in a mitzvah? Tavnei Nezah says, the Chacham Leiv Yikach Mitzvahs means that the Chacham knows which mitzvah to choose out. If you have a choice between mitzvahs, and both mitzvahs were applicable over here, Moshe Rabbeinu chose a mitzvah that was totally without any self-interest whatsoever. Zichah the Yidden were Mekayim a mitzvah, but they were Mekayim a mitzvah which they also got physical pleasure from. Moshe Rabbeinu chose a mitzvah which was totally selfless. And it's the Chesed Shel Emes. And literally, the mitzvah was Bevchinis Meis Mitzvah. Nobody else was Isaac with it. Everybody else was Isaac with mitzvahs for their own. And Moshe Rabbeinu picked out a mitzvah that nobody else was doing. Plus, it was a mitzvah that had no self-gratification over here. So the Chacham knows which mitzvah to pick out. That's the way Avni Nezah learned the Shabbat. Once saw maybe the kid, Maisa, Rebellion Dushnitzer, one of the great tzaddikim in Yerushalayim, 1930s, he was a Rebbe of Rav Shalom Shvadron. Chazanya said about him that he was literally one of the Lamed Vav tzaddikim. So one Erev Yom Kippur, he was busy. What was he busy with? He was already an elderly yid. There was a public bathroom, and he was busy cutting toilet paper on Erev Yom Kippur, because on Yom Kippur people can't rip the toilet paper. So this is what he had to do. He was busy. One of the Gedolei Hador, one of the Lamed Vav Tzaddikim, he was busy cutting the toilet paper. So there was an irreligious yid that was watching. He's watching what he's doing. He walks over and he says, what are you doing? Like, why are you doing this? So he says, what am I supposed to do? I'm an elder yid. You know, on Erev Yom Kippur, people are busy. They're busy doing this, busy doing that. I'm an elder yid. I don't have much to do on Erev Yom Kippur. So I figure, might as well, you know, tomorrow's Yom Kippur, people won't be able to rip the toilet paper. I have to keep myself occupied, so this is what I'm doing. So this yid, this Jew, was watching him, but he didn't take his eyes off of him. Later on, he said that every rip in the toilet paper made a rip in his heart, And from that he became a Baal Tshuva Gomer. Every rip that this Elik is an elder yid, a chosher looking yid, he has nothing better to do now but to rip toilet paper. But test shot a mitzvah that nobody else was doing. That's an example of chacham leivikach mitzvahs. And in the process, he made someone a Baal Tshuva. And so a person has to know which mitzvah to take, you know, when nobody else is being oisik with it. Hayom ro'o vayonis. The sea, the Yamsut, it saw, and it fled. Mara, what did the sea, what did the Yamsut see that made it split? Arayne shel Yosef ra. It saw the orin of Yosef, and that caused it to split. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yonos Hayom Mipnei Hanos. Let the sea run away from the one that ran away. As it says by Yosef, Vayonos Vayetzei Hakutza. By the Maizerations by Tifar, Yosef ran away from the Aveira, Vayonos Vayetzei Hakutza. So Yonos Hayam Mipnei Hanos. First of all, what's the Mida Keneged Mida over here? Because Yosef ran away from Yosef by Tifar, the Yam split over here. Where's the Mida Keneged Mida? Second of all, it would seem that this is schar to Yosef for the fact that he wasn't doing wrong in Aveira. But from the Medrash earlier in Sefer Bereishis, it seems that Yosef got paid back for everything. What's state in Medrash? Medrash says like this. Piv shaloynoshek ba'aveira, his mouth that didn't kiss someone ba'aveira, for that the Pasuk says, al picho yisha kolami. By your command, my whole nation will be supported. Gufay shaloynoga ba'aveira, his guf didn't touch the woman in the Ma'is Aveira, Vayuba Shoysei Big Day Sheish. They gave him beautiful clothing to wear to be Mechabed the Guf. Tzavor Shloi Hirchin Ba'Aveira, your neck that didn't move in an Aveira, Vayosim Revizov Al Tzavore, they put this beautiful necklace around his neck. Yodor Shloi Mishmishu Ba'Aveira, his hands that didn't do an Aveira, Vayosim Parias Tabakle Me'al Yodoi, he put the signet ring on the hand of Yosef. Raglo shloi posu ba'aveira, his feet that did not make steps towards the aveira. Vayarke v'soy b'merkevus hamishnah, they honored and they put his feet. He was able to step up onto the great chariot of the king. Machshava shloi choshva ba'aveira, the machshava that didn't think about doing the aveira. Vayikru l'fon of Avrei, they called him Avrei Av b'chokma. He was old in Chokhmah v'rach b'shanah. So every prop was paid back already to Yosef. What was left over here to pay him back for? So number one, what was the Mida Keneged Mida? And number two, like, he was already paid back for every single thing that he did. Where was there more schus left over here to be paid back for? Chaim Shmulevitz says a Mida Keneged Mida over here. He says, besides the fact that Yosef did not do the Aveira, there was an added thing over here for which he received schar. Vayonos v'yetzei hakutza, and he left his beged in the hands of Eishes Potiphar. So the Ramban asks a question over there: why did he leave his beged in her hands, and that caused him trouble? Here she had evidence against him. Why didn't he just overpower her? Yosef was strong; could have overpowered her and grabbed away the beged. Why didn't he do that? So the Ramban answers: it was a midah of derech eretz. She was his mistress. It was not their cheretz to overpower her. Ad kidei kach, that's a maybe the kizach. You know, because she hears she's trying to do him in, and he knows she's going to do him in. And Aval Pekin, the Nimus, Midas, their cheretz, did not allow him to overpower her. But Chaim Shmulevitz says a different shafer. Chaim Shmulevitz says that what caused Yosef not to overpower her, it was the pachad of Aveira. It would take another second or two to grab his beged away. He knew that every second in the matziv of the Yetzer Hara's grip, he knew that it's a threat to his ruchnius. He knew that there's a threat to him doing the Aveira. So because of the pachad of the Aveira, Vayonos v'yetzei hachutz. He didn't even want his friend, and he was willing to risk going to jail. He was willing to risk being prosecuted as long as he doesn't have to spend those extra 1 or 2 seconds in the matzav of which Chashan is doing an Aveira. So that's the extra thing that Yosef did over here. In addition to not doing the Aveira, the fact that he displayed such a pachad for the Aveira, Vayonos Vayetzei Hakutza, and he was willing to risk going to jail because of it, that in itself deserves schar for it, you know, in itself. That means so, besides not doing the Aveira, the pachat for the Aveira, that goofer gets extra schar. And what was the Mida connected Mida? Because he didn't want to stay an extra second, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the Yam, split immediately. There was a kitrug against the Bnei Yisrael, Halolo Evdei Evdei Dezara, they're both Evdei Evdei Dezara, the Mitzrayim were Evdei Evdei Dezara, the Yidin were Evdei Evdei Dezara, why are these better than these? Shem said right away, Yonus Hanos Mipnei Hanos, split right away, because every extra second in the hands of the Mitzrayim, who knows what could happen to them. The same way Yosef ran away quickly, he didn't want to be within the vicinity of an Aveira. Any extra second where the Mitzrayim have a chance to catch up to the Yidin is a Sakara. Yonus Hayom at Nehamas. That is the Mida Keneged Mida. Mi Chomecha Ba'elim Hashem. Who is like you amongst the strong ones, Hashem? The Brisa says, Tana Deber Yishmael. Mi Chomecha Ba'elim is from a Lashon of Elam, one that's mute. Who is like you amongst the silent ones, Hashem? In other words, Hashem often is silent. We don't see him saying anything. We don't see him reacting. Hashem is silent. So you have to understand two things over here in this medrash. Pashut pshat is who is like you amongst the strong ones, Hashem? That's a very nice pshat. What caused Rabbi Yishmael to change the pshat? And why does it have a connection with Yitzias Mitzrayim? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu has reason to remain silent, that's a meet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in general. Where over here in Yitzias Mitzrayim did they see the Mikamaycha Ba'ilmim Hashem, who is like you amongst the Ilmim, amongst the ones that are mute? So Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld says a very beautiful chant. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld says, for 210 years, the Yid must have been wondering, if he's a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why doesn't he speak up? Why doesn't he say anything? How can he allow his children, if we attack the children of Hashem, how can HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow us to suffer this way? And for so long, and he's so silent? And this is what they were wondering. But after they saw the Mayri de Genisim in the Flois, the Ten Makis, the Gival Genisim Alayam, Masheros HaShivcha Alayam, Leroy Cheskel Ben Buzi, from the greatest of the Nevi'im did not see what a Shifra saw Alayah. Said, oh, that's the biggest raya. That when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was silent, it wasn't for a lack of capability. It's because he has a midah of illness. He has a midah of being silent when he has to be silent. And in all probability, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was being silent during that time was for our benefit. So through all of these nisim, they came to the Hakore. Mikamaycha ba'ilmim Hashem. Who is like the silent ones? Which parent could see his kid being beaten up by someone? And he sits back and he says, oh, you know, I'll be silent. Who could say it? HaKadosh Baruch was the only one that could see that, that could see his children being tortured, and Abba Pi can't even remain silent. It takes a tremendous esgabris. But why is it? It's for our good. They didn't have to be in Mitzrayim. They had to be in Meshuddin. And this was a preparation for Mount Taira. Then Klal Yisrael came to the realization, Mikamaycha Bo'ilmim Hashem. The emphasis that this is a Beferish Gemara in Yuma. The same thing happened just right before the Binyan of Bayashem. Why is the Anshei Knesset Hagdolah called the Anshei Knesset Hagdolah? L'visheachziru haTorah liYoshna. They returned the crown to its glory. What does that mean? When Moshe Rabbeinu addressed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he said, Hakel, Hagdodel, Hagibor, Ha'anayim. Came along Yirmiyahu, and he witnessed the Churban, and he says, Nochrim, Mechalkarim, Beheicholai, the Goyim are scoffing at Hashem in the Heichol. Where's his awesomeness? So Yirmiyahu stopped saying Ha'anayim. He just said, Hakel, Hagdodel, Hagibor. Came along Daniel later on in the Golas, and he says, "Nachrim mishtabtim bebonav." The Goyim are being mishabed his sons. Ayevu roisa. Where is his strength? So he stopped saying Hagibor. He just said Hakeir Hagadol. Now they were able to do that because it was before the Anshei Knesset Hagdolah were misak in the Nusach. In those days, everybody davened in their own Nusach. They were able to do that. We're not allowed to do that today, right? Until the Anshei Knesset Hagdolah came along and they said Adarabah. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to remain silent when he sees that they're scoffing at his name, the fact that he's able to remain silent when people are being mishapen his banim, that shows us his greatness. It's for our own good. So they were misakin once again, they reinstituted the great address, the great name of Hashem. The male, they're called Anshe Knesset HaGdayim. The Marshon Masechtas Yuma, he points out that when did this happen? After the Maisa of Purim. After the Maisa of Purim, when there was Esther upon it. Esther min HaTayra Minayim, Shenemar Vanoichi Aster Aster is Panay, Tayyim Ahu. The stomach, they were wondering over there also, where is Hashem? But after the Maisa of Purim, they saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was silent for a purpose. And afterwards, they saw how everything fit into place. That's when they said once again, Hokeil HaGadol Agiba Banayra. That's exactly what happened over here by the Maisa of Kriyas Yamsuf. Mika Moicha Ba'elim Hashem. Mika Moicha Ba'ilmin. Who is like you amongst the ilmin? Hashem Yilochem Mochem. Vatem Tachrishim. Pasuk says, don't scream, don't worry. Hashem will wage a war for you. Vatem Tachrishim, and you will remain silent. The Mechilta says about this pasuk, Loi B'Shoah Zu Bilvad Yilochem Lochem. Not only at this moment will he wage a war for you, Elo Liyayim Yilochem Lochem Keneged Oyvechem. He will always wage a war for you against your enemies. So Meshech Chacham explains, what does this mean? Remember now that the Yidden were taken out of Mitzrayim. So they had a very good time against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You brought us out over here, you gotta fight for us. Right? You brought us here, you're mechuyav to fight for us. But there's gonna be other times in the history of Klal Yisrael where they're not gonna have a time, where they're gonna have to be silent, they're not gonna have anything to base their bakasha on. Even then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is gonna fight for them. Hashem Yilochem Lochem Vatem Tachrishim. Even if you're silent, and even if you don't have a time, and even if you don't have a claim against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even in such a matter, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is gonna fight for you. And that's a promise from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bizman Hazeh, there's many ways where we don't see the Yad Hashem. The Gemara says one of the great nisim of mankind is that Kapsa Achas, one sheep, is surrounded by 70 wolves and we're able to survive throughout the generations. So in a hidden way, now we don't see it out in the open, but in a hidden way we see the Yad Hashem, Hashem Yilochem Lochem, Batem Tachrishim, even at a time where we don't have that time with Hashem, Aval Pikein, Hashem is with us. Pasuk says, by the Maisa of Amalek, write it down in the Sefer and place it in the ears of Yehoshua. I will erase Amalek from under the heavens. So if Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld asks, what's the purpose of Bizman Hazeh of remembering what Amalek did? We don't know who Amalek is Bizman Hazeh anyway. Hagam, there is a Kabbalah from the Vilna Gaon that Amalek is Germany. There is such a Kabbalah when Kaiser Wilhelm visited Eretz Yisrael at the turn of the century. So there were a couple of Gedolim that did not want to go out to greet him. Everybody went out to greet him. They gave him Kavod Gadol, Kavod Malchus. I believe Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld with another Gadol, could be Shmuel Salant. They did not go out to give him Kavod because of the Kabbalah from the Gra, the Germany is Amalek. And somehow or other, it's difficult to give Kavod to Amalek. Rav Itzel of Volozhiner, Chaim Volozhiner's son, once had to go speak to one of the big Russian ministers in St. Petersburg. So he was walking up the steps of the big palace, and as he's walking up the steps, there was a young boy, must have been a young teenager, that came down the steps and started hitting him with a stick, and he ran away. Rav Itzel of Volozhiner told his shamish to go and find out who that fellow was. Shamish ran after, and he found out who he was. He said he was from the Romanov family. That was the Tsar family, the family of the Tsar. So he asked Itzel of Volozhiner, like, why was it so important for you to know who he was? So he said, we have a Kabbalah from the Goyim. There's certain simonim on the face of an Amaleki, and his face had all of the simonim. So he wanted to know, you know, which family, and sure enough, it was from the Tsar's family. But even if we were to know who the Amalekim are, there's nothing we can do about them today. Mochel Timchas Echer Amalek, we're in Golis, we're under foreign rule. So the whole thing of Mochel Timchas Echer Amalek, how is that applicable to us today? Zucht, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, we have to eradicate the Amaleki from within ourselves. Every person has influence of an Amaleki within himself. And the mitzvah is to eradicate the Amaleki from within ourselves. What is that? So Yosef Chaim says one thing. Amalek creates sphakis within people. Amalek puts you into doubt. And I'm sure you'll say Amalek is begamatria sophic. You probably came up with that already. Amalek is begamatria sophic. Same thing. And Yosef Chaim says that. He creates doubt within people. What's the pshat? You know, by yid, there's emes and there's sheker, there's toiv and there's ra. The koyach of Amalek is to tell us, who says this is so good? That's so terrible. You know, and every bad thing, you know, there's relative good in it also, you know. He tries to blur the boundaries between good and bad. He tries to make it sound, this is not necessarily so good, this is not necessarily so bad. You have to be able to take this from that. And it creates sveikus within a person. The Mochei Timchas Echer Amalek is that we have to be stark within ourselves, and we have to make sure that there are no sveikus within ourselves. We have to have a klorkeit. How does that happen? By Limud HaTorah, by learning Hashkafe, and perhaps most of all, a person has to have a Rebbe. One of the Limudim in the Parsha of Amalek is, it says, B'char lonu anoshim. Moshe Rabbeinu told Yeshua, choose for us men that will go and fight Amalek. So Rashi, Bechar lanu, choose for us. Moshe Rabbeinu put himself on the same level as Yeshua. From here we learn that a person should be mechabed his Talmud like he's mechabed himself. So why is this Bedavka learned in the parasha of Amalek? That's a general thing between Rebbe and Talmud. Why Dafka over here? Because according to this, it comes out very good. There has to be a strong kesher between Rebbe and Talmud so that the Talmud should not have any sveikus. The only way the Talmud could go through life with having a clear-cut, charted way to live and not have the blurred boundaries is by having a Rebbe to guide him. So Bedavka in the parasha of Amalek, that is where we learn out this halacha, that a person should be mechabed his Talmud like himself, that bond between Rebbe and Talmud has to be very strong. That's the meaning of getting the Amaleki out of ourselves. I want to finish off with a beautiful Lord from a Mero of Pramishlan. Zek Heli Vanvehu. This is my God, and I will beautify him. Elakeyavi Vareyimemi. Dr. Romero mi Premishlan. Zek Heli. A person says, this is my Hashem, because I realize it, and I worked on it, and I am horving on it, and I'm learning the new ways of Hashem. Vanvehu. That's something to beautify, that's something to admire. But if a person just settles for Elikayavi, this is the way it was done in previous generations. Yeah, my father was Chashiv, and I'm a son of a Chashiv person, but I myself don't have to work on myself. That's a lashon of Remus Ruach. That's Gaiva. That's something that you have to discard. If it's Zekeli, I have to be someone in my own right, and I have to work on myself, and I have to make it my Hashem. That's fine, babe. That's something of coveting. That's something to admire. Elikayavi, I settle for the fact that I come from a big Yichus. I remember that's a similar guy. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.
Go ahead.